Good morning, everyone. Well, we already had one new member announced. I want to recognize some others. Last Sunday afternoon, John Bob baptized Gail Chance into Christ, and Gail and his wife Karen, as you see in the bulletin, want to be recognized. I'd asked them if they would stand. Would you guys please stand so everybody can see who you are? Great. Hey, if you are interested in maybe going to Israel with us next year, we'll have a little meeting in the fellowship hall afterwards. You're not making any commitment by coming to the meeting, but if you are interested in going, please join us in that meeting. I hope that you've had an opportunity to get one of these booklets. If not, there's still some more out there. We started working on this this week, but not too late. You can go ahead and pick one up. You can easily catch up. I think they will make the lessons much more meaningful for you. It is our custom that if you have an interest in being baptized or if you are just wanting prayers from our elders, a couple of our elders and their wives will be in the conference room out in the back. Just ask that you would meet with them at the end of the sermon this morning. And it is also our custom to begin in prayer, so we'll do that at this time. Father, we are people who want to be followers of your Son. We want to be formed into the image of Christ. And so we come to your word this morning, and as we go through this whole series of lessons on following Jesus, asking that your Spirit will move our hearts, shape our hearts to be more like Jesus. Father, now ask the blessing upon the preaching and hearing of your word. Through your Son we pray. Amen. Entropy is all around us. Entropy is the law that says everything falls apart. And it's true, right? Some of you are experiencing it more than others. We hear of knee surgeries and such things, right? This week I was working on my passport to go to Africa this summer, and it asked for my height, and I put it, and asked for my weight, and I put it, and then it asked for hair color. And I asked Lisa, what color is my hair? I knew the answer. I've been marking brown all my life. She said, it's gray. Yeah, I know, it's gray. It matches the pain in my back and the creaking of my bones and all of that. We just fall apart. And our cars are like that. They come from the manufacturers just smelling great. Don't they? You got that new car smell. And I don't care. You wear that, hang that little air freshener up from the rearview mirror for the new car smell. It doesn't work. I'm telling you, that new car smell cannot be duplicated. But after a few months, it's gone. It's smelling like children or something else. And there's all kinds of stuff around the car. And all of a sudden, the check engine light's coming on. You know, it's just falling apart. I walked out to my car one day and started up, and the gas gauge was on E. And I thought, man, I am in trouble. I drove to the nearest gas station, filled that thing up, only to discover I was not out of gas at all. My gas gauge was just not working. Well, and it's still not working properly. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, so it's really an adventure driving around in my car. And again, it's not just machines. It's us, physically, but it's our souls that are experiencing entropy as well. We were made to be a certain way, and yet we have been falling apart. And so God has come to put us back together. It started out like this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Follow me. Does Jesus have a Twitter account? A Facebook page? No. This is an idiom for being a disciple. So Jesus said, follow, and they followed. If you think about that, though, that sounds a little cultish, doesn't it? Here, this guy comes walking along the beach and says, follow me, and you just jump right in. You're going to traipse around the world, following after this guy, leaving your job, leaving your families, going around there. What next? A compound in West Texas with multiple wives? What are we talking about here? Well, we find out a little bit more of the story from the Gospel of John. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Well, we find out that this actually happened before the other passage that we read. They already have a relationship with Jesus. They already know who Jesus is and have been around Jesus quite a bit. So when he comes along and calls them to follow, they already know him quite well. And who is it he calls to follow? Are they children in the GT program at school? Those with the high SAT scores? No, they're workers. Fishermen. Tax collectors. Might as well, though, have been insurance agents or teachers or counselors or retail workers. Because being a disciple is something for everyone. It's not for monks off in the monastery who are praying all the time or preachers in their study reading their Bibles all the time. Jesus calls all of us to follow. And to follow means to be a disciple. It's not a word that we're all that accustomed to, actually. We're used to talking about Christians and Christianity. But the word Christian actually only appears in the Bible 3 times. But the word disciple appears over and over and over again. Discipleship really is nothing more than being an apprentice. I was a disciple once, a mopping disciple. In high school, I had this job working for this guy who cleaned up grocery stores at night after they closed. And so we would go in, we would sweep, and we would mop. And so I'd get to mopping out there. And inevitably, he would come along and say, "You're doing it wrong." "Well, how am I supposed to do it?" And he would show me. "You do it, keep doing it your way. You're going to be here all night. We've got to get on, get moving." So he would teach me how to mop. He was my boss, and I was his apprentice. Now, if I had been working for some other boss, I might have been taught to mop differently. But I was working for this boss. And I was his apprentice. I was his disciple. And I mopped as he said I should mop. Of course, we have a lot of apprentices in our world. A carpenter's apprentice. An electrician's apprentice. A plumber's apprentice. The master says, "Do it this way." And so you learn to do plumbing this way. You learn to do electricity this way. You do it as the master has taught you to do it. And that was very common in the ancient world too. Philosophers would gather disciples, apprentices around them, and they would say, "This is the way you're supposed to do it. This is the way you're supposed to learn. This is the way you are supposed to grow." And they would develop these really strong loyalties to their master. In fact, such strong loyalties that they would follow another master around who had his disciples, and they would listen and pay attention and wait for him to make a mistake. And if he made a mistake, then they would hound him and they would ridicule him. You know how it is, sort of like the grammar police on Facebook, right? "Oh yeah, you said there, T-H-E-R-E, but it's supposed to be T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E. Grammar police, they're ready to pull you over at any time. So that's what these guys would do. They would follow around, wait for somebody to make a mistake, and then they're all on. And some of that carried over to the New Testament as well. The church in Corinth had this going on. So you've got these little factions in there. And some say, "I follow Paul," which means I'm a disciple of Paul. "I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas." And the Apostle Paul said, No. "None of us died for you. It was Jesus who died for you. If you're going to follow me, only follow me as I follow Jesus." And unlike regular masters with their apprentices, though, Jesus is not teaching anybody to do anything. He's not teaching them a trade or a skill. He's teaching people how to live. He's teaching people how to be. To be as the manufacturer intended for us to be. And so there's two ways he goes about doing this. The first is teaching. But you're probably aware that before you can learn, very often you have to unlearn, right? Think about Mike Miller. Mike Miller, where are you, Mike? Golfer, right? You know how you golfers are, right? I played Little League in high school. I can swing that golf club, right? And so you're swinging it, you know, and whatever. And you do that for about 10 years, right? Maybe 10,000, 20,000 times swinging that thing. And you find out you're not really a golfer, you're a goofer, and it's just going all over the place. So you decide to get lessons. And you go down, and the golf pro says, oh, you got to get that elbow in. Keep your head down. Keep swinging through. And you go, and all of a sudden, you're figuring out you've developed some really bad habits. And they have to be fixed. And it is hard. It's very difficult. Basketball players, same thing. You're out in the driveway as a kid, just shooting those free throws. And you go to the coach at school, you try out for the team. He says, kid, get that chicken wing in. You can't be flipping that thing out there. Get it in. You got to learn to shoot right. You have to unlearn how you have been doing it. And so Jesus comes to his disciples and helps them to unlearn. He says things to them like, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemies. But God wants you to be people who love your enemies. You have heard it said, do not murder. But God wants you to be people who don't even hate. And so a lot of learning involves unlearning. Next thing Jesus did then is he taught them how to be by being. We know that's really how it works, right? I mean, as parents, we get that's how it works. You can talk all you want to your kids. They're paying attention to what you do. So you can tell your kids all you want. Johnny, now, you need to just control your temper. Don't be flying off the handle. But he's watching Daddy. And if Daddy's flying off the handle, guess what? He's going to be the same way. Now, you kids, don't let that money burn a hole in your pocket, all right? Don't be trying to spend all your money. You need to save something. They're watching you buy that big screen TV with that credit card, and they're going, uh-huh. Monkey see, monkey do, right? Because a lot more is caught than taught as we pick up these things and observing people, watching masters, watching parents do things. And so Jesus models how to be. This is the way you're supposed to be. This is what kind of person you're supposed to be. This is how the manufacturer intended for you to be. And so the disciples, on one occasion, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom when the kingdom finally comes. Who's going to sit on the right and who's going to sit on the left? And of course, Jesus rebukes them for all of this. But more than that, Jesus models for them what it's all about when he gets out the basin of water and he gets out the towel and he washes feet. This is how you are to be. And so this is why the writers of the New Testament are forever pointing at Jesus and say, this is how you are to be. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus and John. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. This is how the manufacturer designed us to be. And nothing has really changed in about 2,000 years. The master is still teaching us, and much of what we learn, we have to unlearn so we can learn what he has to say, right? Because we have been discipled. All of us have been discipled by someone else. We have sat at the feet of other teachers. They have taught us about success and how to be successful. And they've taught us about happiness and how to be happy. And they've taught us about how to be impatient and how to be anxious and how to be unsatisfied. They go under different names, these teachers, but they all sort of meld together into one name, culture. And culture has taught us all of these things. So we too must unlearn. We must have all of our assumptions about life challenged, and Jesus will challenge them. Jesus challenges them left and right, which is why some of the things Jesus says make no sense to us, right? If you read these things, and they just don't make sense in the way that we have been taught and the way we have been discipled. If you want to find your life, Jesus says, you will lose it. That doesn't make any sense until you practice it and you discover how true that it really is. So how will we respond to this teaching by Jesus? Well, of course, you could just ignore it, which is what happens in our scripture reading this morning, right? Jesus comes along, he feeds them, gives them a lot to eat, and then he gives them a teaching, and they're like, oh, that is a hard teaching. You know, we kind of liked you when you provided dinner, but now, not so much, right? So we're out of here. We're done with you. We're leaving, right? Because we want you to fit, your teaching to fit in the way that we've already learned, in the way we already see the world, and it doesn't. So we're not sticking around, which is a very common thing to happen, right? Because we have been discipled in our culture. We've been discipled to think that really the goal in life is to have more car, more house, more land, more money. And so we go looking for a church that will encourage that kind of thing, health and wealth gospel, and they are certainly out there. We have been discipled to think we are the center of the universe. It's all about me. Everybody should be catering to me. The customer is always right, you know. And so we go looking for a church that's going to cater to me, the music that I like, the preaching that I like, everything that I like in the church. We've been discipled to think that our feelings are sovereign, so we go looking for a church that's going to somehow give us that feeling in it. Another way to respond to this is just go looking for simple formulas. Simple formulas. Just follow these steps. Just attend this church. Just hold to these teachings. It is the way of doing rather than the way of being. And the way of doing is really sort of ubiquitous out there. You can go onto Facebook or anywhere on the internet and see this. The 5 steps to a healthier new you. The 10 keys to a happy marriage. The 7 things all parents should stop doing now. And on and on and on you'll go in seeing these things, because doing is quite attractive, actually. Young man came to Jesus one day. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe he was looking for the 5 steps or the 3 keys or something like that. But Jesus calls him to be something different. You know the problem you've got going on here, buddy, that you are letting this money control your life. So sell it all, give to the poor, and then follow me. And he goes away sad because he can't do it. And many of us are the same. We want to do, not to be. Because being is demanding, isn't it? It's demanding, and it requires this internal change in us. I'm reminded of this couple that went to the counselor, see the counselor about marital problems that they were having. And he met with them together, and then he met with them separately. And when he was meeting with the wife, he said, you know, you've got a couple of things that you might want to think about here that I think are creating some stress in your marriage. And she said, no. That's just the way I am. He said, well, actually, there's only one I am. That's the way you choose to be. That's the way we choose to be. And changing that being is hard. We'd rather keep that being, keep who we are. We'd rather do the simple things, the do things, the measurable things. And so it is the way we have been discipled. Think about it when you meet somebody. Hi, my name's Ben. What's your name? My name is Curtis. And Ben says, Curtis, what do you do? Right? That's one of the first questions that comes out. What do you do? Wouldn't it be strange if somebody said, oh, what are you? What do you be? You'd say, are you crazy or what? How is it we are to be? What is it that the manufacturer intended for us to be? Well, it is still, these 2,000 years later, still Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, it's enough for you to be like your teacher. And the Apostle Paul is talking to his churches that he writes to all the time, and he's pointing at the same thing. Several places he says things like this. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. My dear children, for whom and again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Well, how is this accomplished? Well, that is actually what this whole thing is about as we go through this series of lessons. So we're going to hang out with Jesus for a while. Think about the things that Jesus thought about. Try to practice the things he did. We're going to see it happen with all those first disciples. Those first disciples, very much like us, these folks went to church every week too, except it was on Saturday, not Sunday. But there's no indication that they were ever discontent with their lives and their faith the way it was until they met Jesus. And suddenly they realize, hey, we're not like the manufacturer intended us to be. And we know that because we can see what the manufacturer intended us to be right in front of us. So we'll hang out with Jesus for a while. Practice thinking what he was thinking. Practice acting in the way he acted. John chapter 6, when the crowds left, Jesus turns to the apostles and he says, what about you guys? You going to bail out too? No, we can't go anywhere. We don't get everything that you're about and everything that you are saying, but we know something. We're in the presence of someone holy, someone who is from God, someone who shows us how to be. And in these coming weeks, if you will hang out with Jesus for a while, you might also see it. Let's stand and sing.